strategies. Happiness today, what makes us happy? This woman studies happiness, and in February she launched the Little Happiness Ingredients Project to find out what it is that we need to give us happiness. She interviewed over 1,000 people and can talk us through the results. She's Frederica Roberts. Good morning, Frederica.
Good morning, Bernie.
Why did you want to study happiness? What is it about it that fascinates you?
Well, happiness is one of those things, you know, it has become a buzzword, but long before that, I came from a place where some pretty horrific things have happened to my kids with their health, and people kept saying, how are you always so happy, even though all of this stuff goes on? And my answer used to be, well, I have no choice, and actually then I looked back and I took a step back and I thought, no, I do have a choice, and that's exactly why I am always this happy. Denise was talking about that, having to want to come out of that dark place and making that choice. And I always say happiness is a deliberate state of mind. You know, it's something that we choose to be and to work on. And so I wanted to examine that a little more in depth and started really focusing on what it is that makes us happy.
And your kids are okay now, yeah?
Well, they're as okay as they'll ever be. They've still got heart conditions. There might be more surgeries in future, but you know, day to day, they're doing great. So that's what I'm grateful for, and I'm grateful for every day and every year and every month that we get. That's brilliant. And when things get tough, they get tough, and we go into hospital mode, and then we come back out of hospital mode, and we're back to normal life, and they're just annoying teenagers, which is great.
But it's better than you initially thought. Now, how much of that do you think is tied in with your attitude, that you've almost leveraged the universe through your good intent, through your good spirit, through your joy, to give you a good result? Do you think that one follows the other?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know whether fundamentally we can make things happen in the universe. I think when we have certain attitudes, maybe we have different relationships to people, so things happen differently. And maybe when you come from a place of hope and of positivity, you push harder for certain things to happen, maybe. Yeah. So when we were asked whether we wanted Charlie at age 12 to just be left to die, and that was what we were basically asked, do you want us to just let her die in an adult intensive care unit? If we hadn't had that place of hope as parents and positivity that things might somehow work out all right, maybe we'd have said yes. Mm. Whereas we said, no, absolutely not. Do whatever you can do. She's had a good life and we wanted to keep having a good life. So in that sense, I think maybe it does have an impact on the universe in that we just don't let things rest. I don't let things rest. I don't accept if I think there is hope, I go for that ray of hope rather than going down the route of despair.
And you conduct happiness workshops with clients now, which take what form, Frederica?
The workshops themselves are very interactive. So a lot of the work I do particularly is in schools in terms of workshops with pupils. Obviously, we have what's been labelled by some now as a mental health crisis with our young people, which is really quite frightening. So everything we can do to help young people to build their emotional resilience and their happiness is wonderful. And what I do with them is share with them some of the things they can do, and then we work on that actively. So one of the things that always works really well is we do an activity where they focus on gratitudes, and it's a very quick activity. It takes 2 minutes, and in groups they write lots of gratitudes onto post-it notes, and they run around the room putting them up on the walls, and it's a competition between who can get the most gratitudes on the wall in 2 minutes. And it always ends up with a massive colourful array of lots and lots of gratitudes plastered all over the walls, and it just shows them that actually look at how much you've come up with in just 2 minutes.
I love that idea.
It works every time. And the thing is, you do it with kids and they're great. They're competing for chocolate or whatever. The adults nearly lynch each other for that chocolate.
Now, that's because 5% of people in your survey said that chocolate is one of the things that makes them happy.
It is, yes, 5% of them. And it's quite an interesting one, isn't it? And actually, the food and drink category as a whole, which included the chocolate, was quite a large one at just over 12% of people who put that in there. But that was quite often linked with actually socialising with other people, which is quite interesting. So food and drink with others.
But the food is interesting. That and exercise comes up quite high as well. They give you a chemical rush, don't they? The chocolate has got chemicals within it, and the exercise that you do creates the endorphins, and that's your physical high.
it is a physical high. And I think one of the things you were talking about with Denise, obviously, was having those little shots of happiness that work with the undercurrent of contentment, and that's what those are. They're little shots, and the more of those we can have in our lives that are healthy shots of happiness, particularly things like endorphins from exercise, the more the lows become fewer and far between. And that's why I wanted to particularly focus on these little happiness ingredients. They're not the only thing we can do to build our happiness. Of course they're not, and there are massive things like gratitude that you touched on earlier that are very, very important. But the little happiness ingredients are those little things that we can build into our lives just to give ourselves those little boosts, and it's knowing what they are in the first place.
Just under one in five listed family, children, friends, love as the things to give you happiness. Mm. I would have thought that would be much, much higher. And it does suggest to me that the people are taken for granted over the possessions. Do you know what I mean?
It could well be, and I was surprised by that number, actually, which is why it stood out to me. Because when I do that gratitude exercise I mentioned with the Post-its, actually the predominant category that jumps out when you look at what people have written is to do with friends, family, relationships, love, even their pets. In fact, it's the fundamental things in life. But yet in the survey that didn't come out, which is really odd. So maybe it is that people are taking stuff for granted, or maybe it's just a reflection that people were thinking more of me time and activities. Because one of the categories that also jumped out was pampering and relaxation activities accounted for just under 8%.
Yes.
So maybe when people were thinking, what do you want, what's your favourite little happiness ingredient, things that you can do, they were actually thinking about, what do I do when I take time out for myself? And some of the comments because it was free text, some of the comments that were clearly from parents were things like the first cup of tea in the morning when nobody's woken up yet.
I think the other thing is about this pampering is actually I'm seeing an increasing number of couples that are actually going and having pampering spa days together.
Nice.
And I think, that's wonderful, because not only are they pampering themselves, but they're doing it together as well. So there's a combination of things, Frederica, of the things that they're actually doing that bring them joy and happiness too.
These are light things, exactly. These are frothy things, but they're actually not superficial things. No. Time and time again, you hear that a life of hedonism doesn't bring lasting happiness, does it? Happiness is far deeper than pleasure.
I believe it is, and I think we've got to have those little pleasures, but it's also having that sort of sense of self being happy rather than actually looking outside of myself for happiness. If I'm always going to look to other people or other things to bring me happiness, then I potentially could be quite disappointed on a regular basis.
Do you meditate, Frederica?
Absolutely. I've started to meditate. I'm one of those people that's got a very busy mind, so I find it quite difficult to
still. I know, it's impossible, isn't it? They say focus on a candle or something, so you look at the flame, and then half a minute I'm thinking, they're going to get me curtains in a minute. My curtains are going to go up.
That's it. I mean, the one meditation that... there are two meditations that I found work for me. One is a very quick... 1 minute meditation of breathing in, counting to five, hold, counting to five, and breathe out, counting to five. Do that for a minute repeatedly, and that's just about the length of time I can just focus on counting to one to five for. But the other meditation that I found works really well is I've trained as a laughter yoga leader, and as part of laughter yoga, when you do a full session, is you do something called a laughter meditation for about 10 minutes. And it's really difficult to think about anything else if you just start giggling and laughing to yourself. And that's actually a really good meditation that works for me, just laughter.
And what do you think meditation does? Why is it so widely advocated by people who are in your position, life counsellors, happiness counsellors? Why do so many meditate?
I think we do all lead very, very busy lives, and our brains are constantly on the go. And if you don't give yourself a break from that being on the go all the time, then it's very difficult to take stock. And all the things you were talking about with Denise earlier on about, making those choices, about thinking about your hopes, your ambitions, your goals in life, and what steps you need to take. When do you take the time to actually stop and think if you never actually still your mind and your thinking?
Do you have to work at it?
That's why it's so important, I think.
Do you have to work at it, Frederica? Is happiness a work in progress?
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things that I always find quite surprising is that as a society we seem to have accepted that it's really important to work on our careers, on our businesses, even our relationships. But happiness seems to be something that we think we either have or we don't have. And actually, happiness is something you can work on. Genetically, there's been a study that was done in America about 12 years ago or so, and they looked at what happiness is, whether it's genetic, and you touched on that born or bred contentment idea, and about 50% of it is genetic, so some of us are just naturally happier than others. But actually only 10% is down to circumstances, which leaves that massive 40% that's actually down to the things we do, all the stuff that we deliberately do to boost our happiness, whether that's meditation, whether that's being grateful, whether that's putting those little happiness ingredients into our lives, whether it's going to the gym. All of that stuff is what makes up 40% of our happiness, so it's definitely something we can work on.
Well, it's such an interesting topic, I think. Frederica's website is happiness-speaker.co.uk. Happiness-speaker.co.uk with a hyphen between the happiness and the speaker. Happiness-speaker.co.uk. Thank you, Frederica.
Thanks, Frederica.
Thank you very much, Bernie. Thanks, Denise.
If you'd like to talk about that...